Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the soon return of Jesus to this earth. We're considering it in terms of the overall plan of God. Jesus is coming to complete God's plan of redemption. We're talking about it to give us a framework of understanding that'll help us deal with the increasingly difficult times that are already coming on the earth. Jesus said that in the years immediately preceding his return, there would be such trouble and distress that if he didn't come back then, everyone on earth would die. And we discussed yesterday that there will be this great destruction because of the activities of the devil through his counterfeit of Jesus. He's going to offer the world what will turn out to be the final ruler, a man empowered and inspired by him who will seem to bring peace to this earth. Millions will flock to him and even worship him. But the actions of this man and the responses of people to him will produce chaos in this earth. And we left off saying that yesterday that we have a tendency to view all this stuff as sort of a kind of science fiction event, but the conditions in the world at the return of Jesus that are described for us in the book of Revelation, they're not going to come out of a vacuum. They're not going to be freaky. They're going to be the natural culmination of a progression of events leading up to those final years. We're close enough to the end that we're seeing the stage being set for the conditions that the Bible describes right at the end, before the Lord returns. And Jesus said one of the signs that his return is near will be the abundance of sin. In Matthew 24, verse 12, he said iniquity will abound, or there will be an abundance of sin. Paul said that perilous times will come on the earth. The word perilous is literally fierce. And he goes on to say it'll because of the behavior of people. Now let me read this passage. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. You should know also this, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and lovers of pleasure rather than of God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. That's stunning when you read that. Now, human beings have always been plagued by sin. That's the problem. Sin has plagued humanity since the fall of Adam. All human beings are born with a sin nature and do what comes naturally, which is sin. That's why a new birth, which involves a nature change, is needed. But it's going to be worse. It already is. Why? Well, consider. First, there are more people living on the earth now than have lived throughout all of human history combined. If you combine all the people who've ever lived up until the 20th century, there's more people on the earth now than that number. More people means more fallenness and more sin. Just because of sheer numbers, we've got more sin. And sin has a cumulative effect. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, speaking of sin. And because of the technological developments of our age, TV, movies, internet, international travel, so on and so forth, sin can go farther than ever. And the effects of sin can reach more people, resulting in ever-increasing damage. And until the end of the last century, most cultures in the modern world adhered to Judeo-Christian ethics, even if they were non-religious. Judeo-Christian ethics just permeated the modern world. But the counterculture movement of the 60s, the 1960s, eroded this. Whole can of worms for another day, but it removed much of the external cultural restraint on the wickedness in human hearts. In other words, culture, outside forces, restrained a lot of the wickedness in human hearts because people just didn't act like that. And people didn't want to step outside of accepted behavior in the culture. But now those restraints are removed, so anything goes. And then willful, persistent sin deceives and hardens men to the truth, producing a reprobate mind, a mind unable to make decisions in its own best interest. Well, the 60s was what, 50 years ago now? Almost 60 years ago now, we've had 60 years of increasingly unbridled sinful behavior in the culture. Well, willful, persistent sin, where nothing is sacred and people scoff at God, leads to what the Bible calls a reprobate mind. Hebrews 3:13 says sin deceives, and Romans 1:28 says that increasingly degrading sin produces a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind that is unable to make decisions in its own best interest. We see that all around us. I'm sure you can relate. Politicians make decisions. They pass laws. You see people around you make decisions that actually hurt them, and it should be obvious to them. Well, that's a reprobate mind, a mind that can't make decisions in its best interest, and that is increasing, and all of that is making the times more difficult. Jesus further said in Matthew chapter 24 that a hallmark of the years just before his return will be massive religious deception. Three different times he said, take care that no one deceive you. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, or verses 1 through 3, I'm sorry, that men will depart from the faith, listening to seducing spirits and giving their minds to doctrines inspired by devils. And he specifically says in verse 3 that they will, it says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. They will hinder marriage and refuse meat. It's so interesting to note that marriage is being redefined worldwide, and a worldwide vegan movement is underway, part in the name of saving the planet and part in the name of saying we all have God in us, including animals, so we're all equal. But all of that is under the guise of religion, false religion. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, Paul wrote, they will maintain a facade of religion, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. We live in a time when people profess spirituality. You hear that word everywhere. Oh, I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not religious. Oh, I'm spiritual, but I don't believe in God. But they live in gross immorality. They profess spirituality. They have a form of godliness, but they reject the power that would make them godly. They live in gross immorality, claiming that, well, that's present even in the church now. There's a whole big grace movement. Now, there's some legitimate stuff to it, but a lot of it has been taken way too far. People say in the name of grace that God's not mad at anyone anymore, so he doesn't care how we live. Daddy God understands. It's all paid for at the cross. Yes, God poured out his wrath against sin at the cross, but he did it to deliver us from sin and its power, not to make it okay for us to sin. Both the Apostle Peter and Jude wrote that before the Lord's return, men will turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. That means lewdness and wantonness, sexual laxity, in other words. They'll turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and deny the Lord who bought them. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and Jude 4. Boy, are we there. God's grace has been turned into a justification for sin, even in, quote, Christian circles. Sin has been redefined as a mistake rather than rebellion against God. You know what, friends? If there is no sin, then we don't need a Savior, nor do we need to give account to him. this is all deception, and it's here right now setting the stage that will make people willing to offer to receive the counterfeit of Jesus that the devil's going to offer the world. You know, many so-called Christian churches now say that all paths lead to God, who is all-inclusive. Whatever religion, whatever you believe, however you live, as long as you're sincere, God accepts you. That is totally contrary to what Jesus Christ himself says. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you come to Jesus with your knee bowed, submitting to him as Savior and Lord. In a lot of circles, the gospel has been reduced to feeding the poor and working to end corporate greed and war. Now, I believe in helping the poor. The Bible talks about that, and greed is wrong, and it would be great to end war, but only Jesus can fix all that permanently. We're not here to fix up society. The Bible's clear, society's going to get worse and worse. God doesn't care about us having a great society and going to hell. That's not what he wants. He wants men's hearts changed through the new birth because of the cross, so they can become his sons and end up in his kingdom forever. There will be an apostate church that will welcome Satan's counterfeit of Jesus, according to the scripture. Well, that is well underway in the process of forming. Apostasy is a renunciation of faith. It's an abandonment of previous loyalty. This church is in the process right now of abandoning basic doctrines of the Christian faith as well as the Savior. Like I said, there are Christian churches that say there's other ways to God besides Jesus. They've turned God's grace into an excuse for sin. It has a form of godliness, but it denies the power of God as it redefines who Jesus is and what he came to do and what sin is and isn't. Jesus did not come to teach us to love one another. We can't love one another without a changed heart. He came to pay for our sins so it could be removed and a process of transformation could begin. We're going to be, those of us who are committed to the Lord and his word, are going to be increasingly bothered by what we see going on in society and even in the church. That's one reason why it's important to understand the times in which we live. Peter wrote that Lot was vexed by the behavior of the inhabitants of Sodom before it was destroyed. We're going to be increasingly vexed by what we see. You need to understand what's happening. More next week.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.